Welcome to the Reclaim Your Rise podcast. My name is Lauren Bongiorno, nationally board certified health coach and founder and CEO of Risley Health, where we help people and families impacted by type 1 diabetes take ownership over their lives so that they can transform with more freedom and confidence. Everyone has a different reason to be here. You might be seeking knowledge, support, or community, but at your core, I know that you long for something deeper. You're here for transformation. And that's what the Reclaim Your Rise podcast is all about. We can so easily focus on our body doesn't make insulin and we have to do this and we have to do that. And I wish it was different, right? I wish I didn't have diabetes. I wish I had, you know, more, whatever it is for you and however you're feeling with this resentment. But that's a choice to focus on that, right? Like, we can't change the facts of the matter and that those things are truth, but we can focus on focusing on, you know, what we do have. A quick reminder before we start the show that nothing you hear on the Reclaim Your Rise podcast should be a substitute for personalized professional medical advice. Please always consult your physician or other medical professional before making any changes to your diet, insulin dosages, or healthcare plan. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Reclaim Your Rise. Today, we are doing a little bit of a special solo episode in honor of me turning 30 this week. Yes, my birthday is on July 8th, and it's a big one, and I'm actually feeling excited about it. I thought that I would be a little bit more like nervous of like, oh my gosh, like life is going so fast and this and that, but I have the blessing of having a lot of close friends and mentors like in my inner circle who are already in their 30s and even 40s. And just like watching them makes me excited for what's to come tomorrow. Like, the best is yet to come, guys. But I figured for today, we can do a little combo of me answering some questions that you all submitted on Instagram about diabetes, like specifically. Plus, I'll share a few lessons that I've learned in my 20s and have just impacted me, I think, in a big way. I'm actually trying to make a list of 30 lessons, like on the notes section of my phone the past couple of weeks. I've just been like adding things to it, and I may share it on Instagram like around my birthday. I may not. I'm not sure yet, but I'll definitely share like the biggest ones, you know, later in this episode. So part diabetes, part self-development today. I hope you're down for it. We're going to touch on diabetes resentment, exercise and blood sugars, navigating a new diagnosis, getting pregnant as a T1D. So let's get into it. All right. So the first question that I got was, I feel a lot of resentment towards my diabetes. How can I better deal with that and avoid burnout? So first off, I want you to know, and anyone who's feeling this way, that you're not alone. There are so many people who, you know, we work with at Risley that I know who, you know, will say things like, oh, it bothers me so much when my sibling or a friend is just eating ice cream and they're just careless and carefree, or they're, you know, just, they don't have to think as much about every little thing they're putting in their body or all this management that they have to do to feel healthy. And it's really, really, really easy if you are focused on that to get to a place of resentment, because what you focus on grows, right? And so if you think of that as like a hole, right? And it's like you peek into that hole and then you're like, oh, like, yeah, like that idea and that thought is going to snowball into something else. And then you're going deeper and you're going deeper and you're going deeper. By the time you're down there at the bottom of the hole, like, it's a lot harder to not only climb out, but like to see the light, right? And to see that you can live a life with diabetes that feels better. This kind of thing with resentment, right? This feeling of it's not fair and why me? If you're new on in your diagnosis and you're an adult diagnosed, right? Like, this is also just a normal part of the grieving process. Like, you should be, I don't want to say should, but like you likely are going to experience this. What I would look out for is if you are, you know, many years into your diagnosis, really getting curious about what is making you feel that way in this point in time. Like, is it that maybe you didn't give yourself space to really like grieve this like new life when you were first diagnosed? Is it that your numbers have been really crazy and all over the place? Is it that, you know, you are, you know, kind of deep down, maybe like you don't have a life you want a life partner, you want to attract in a relationship and you don't have that. And maybe you're projecting it onto like, oh, well, diabetes being the fault, right? Like there's so many different reasons. But one thing I want you to anchor into, and even put this like on a post-it note, if you need the, you know, just like the affirmation of it on a daily basis, but it's that don't define your life by what you want, rather define it by what you have. Don't define your life by what you want, rather define it by what you have. We can so easily focus on our body doesn't make insulin and we have to do this and we have to do that. And I wish it was different, right? I wish I didn't have diabetes. I wish I had, you know, more, you know, whatever it is for you and however you're feeling with this resentment. But that's a choice to focus on that, right? Like we can't change the facts of the matter and that those things are truth, but we can focus on focusing on, you know, what we do have. And we, when we live in that space, when we live in what we have and define our lives by that versus what we don't have, it's just like, you know, life gives you lemons. You got to make lemonade kind of thing. And this takes time, right? This is that deep mindset work. A tool you can use that we use it with our coaching community at Risley is called the 5 Whys exercise. Sometimes we don't dig deep enough to get to the root of why we're feeling a certain way. And this exercise, if you take pen to paper, can help you do that. So what you essentially do is like you state the problem. So like I, you know, have a lot of resentment towards my diabetes. And then you write under it, why? Question mark. And then you see what comes up. And then whatever comes up, then you go a layer deeper and you ask why, and then see what comes up. And then you ask why 5 times. And then at the end of all those responses, you may uncover something that you didn't even really know was like the root issue. And then you can tackle and sit with that and address it in whatever way you need to move forward. So just as an example, very like straightforward example, if you say like, I can never work out. Like I'm not motivated to work out. Then you ask yourself why? And it's like, because I'm tired in the morning. And then most people just stop there and they're like, oh, okay, like I just have to get to sleep earlier. But if you keep going with the 5 Whys exercise, it can look like, because I'm tired in the morning. Why? Because I'm going to bed late every night. Why? Because I am procrastinating going to bed. Why? Because I don't want to wake up in the morning and go to the job that I hate. Why? Because I'm unhappy and haven't left because of fear that I will, you know, not get another job or in an industry that I want. You can see how it kind of can unravel. So take the 5 Whys exercise, do it for anybody who's feeling this way, and just see what comes up without any judgment or expectations. Okay. Next question is on working out as a T1D. So the question was, do you have any advice or tips for a T1D who is starting to work out, and what are the best workouts? So I love this question, first of all, and I love that you are starting to work out, because it's kind of like, you know, you don't need to work out as a type one in the same way that like you don't need to eat, quote unquote, let's say healthy foods as a type one. But when you do these things, it significantly increases the ease in which you can manage your numbers and you just feel good, right? So there's no right or wrong way to work out, especially when you're, you know, starting out. But here would be like my 3 tips for you, and really for anybody who is just more curious about working out and how to stabilize blood sugars. You know, I would listen up to these 3 things. So the first one is, when you go from inactivity to activity, this is the biggest thing that is going to impact your blood sugars. So if you go from inactivity, meaning like you've had type 1 for a while, you haven't really been working out, or it can mean you're sick and you haven't worked out for, you know, 2 weeks because you've just been under the weather, or you've been injured and so you haven't been doing, you know, a lot of cardio or this or that, right? Like any period of inactivity that is followed by activity, you're going to see the biggest impact on your blood sugars because your insulin sensitivity is going to respond like very high to that. So just expect that to happen once you start working out. However, once you get into the flow and you're a couple weeks in of just like regularly making this a part of your lifestyle, your baseline insulin sensitivity level is going to shift a little bit. And so it's like every time you go, you will know what to do to prevent that. And you're not going to have as drastic, maybe like drops that you would see in the beginning. Number two, just because a workout brings you up or down does not mean it is not overall good for you. So if you go and you're like, all right, I'm starting to work out, let me try going for a run, and you drop, it's not like, oh, I can't ever do this workout again. Then the question becomes, okay, I really enjoyed that run. How do I get ahead into proactively, you know, supporting myself with different insulin strategies, food strategies, whatnot, so that I can run without going low? And number three is start off with experimenting different types of workouts and find what you like. That is going to be the most sustainable thing. Of course, there's like all these plans and there's things that, yes, are relatively better or more helpful for people with type 1 diabetes. Example, strength training is huge, but really get to a place where like you can just find what you enjoy. Try a Pilates class, try a yoga class, like go for a run, go to a kickboxing class, because that joy that you can possibly get from that is going to be the thing that motivates you to make it a consistent part of your life. And that's what we're looking for here. We're looking for consistency and for this to be a lifestyle, not just a like, okay, I'm going to start working out and, you know, hopefully that I'm going to be able to do it X amount of times a week. And, you know, just like setting yourself up with a different mindset of like, this is who I am. I am somebody who is going to start working out versus like, I'm going to start a, you know, specific workout. And then when I finish, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do next. Right. But I will say to this, I have a guide that I created a couple of years ago. It was, it's called the 12-week climb, and it's a 12-week strength training and cardio guide. And so many people to this day will still message me and be like, oh my gosh, like I just, you know, got back into doing the 12-week climb again. And it's so helpful to like be able to navigate strength training and not have to think about it, and can just, you know, pull up the plan, do the workout, and then see the impact on insulin sensitivity and blood sugars and all that. So I will link that in the show notes below. And so, you know, plans necessarily aren't bad. They can be really helpful, but really think about it as like, just, am I going to enjoy this? Or how can I use combinations of like strength training plus adding in things that I love as, you know, my foundation for building more, you know, workouts into my life and movement. So that's what I'll say for that one. The next question is from a parent. So she asked, what helped you get through the initial diagnosis? My baby was diagnosed 8 months ago at 8 years old. Oh, well, first off, I'm so happy that you're here and that you're already in the diabetes community and you found us, and that you're thinking about like, what are other tools and strategies and things that I should know to help us as a family navigate this time. So if you didn't know, I was diagnosed at 7 years old, so a little younger than your little one. But my tip here is going to be like, the first time you hear that diagnosis, right? Like you hope and you pray for like a healthy baby, right? And then 8 years down the line, your child gets diagnosed and you feel like so much hope is lost, or that it's going to impact their life in such a negative way. And I want to start off by saying that like adversity is good. Okay. I promise you 100% with like certainty, I would not trade my diabetes diagnosis for, you know, a random other challenge that somebody else has went through as a child or whatnot, because like, I know that like I handled it and I can handle it, and that it's made me a stronger person, and it's made me so much more competent than I think I would have been, so much more self-aware of health and taking care of the one body that we're given in this lifetime. I would think about how, you know, there are so many people even on just social media who have had diabetes since they were a child, and like surround yourself by the positive things. Don't go in the Facebook groups where all the parents sometimes are talking about like, oh, this is wrong and this is wrong, and really put yourself and surround yourself with, you know, the positive things that are going on. I also think, just, you know, you asked like what helped get through that initial diagnosis. I would say that it was a lot of learned behavior from my parents. So it's not like I didn't see my parents cry when I was diagnosed, because I do remember that. It wasn't like, you know, they didn't have, you know, kind of freak out moments when I had a really low blood sugar in the first couple of years or whatnot. But the overall, like I, as a child, like looked to my parents and modeled how I should feel about diabetes. And they were like, you know what? Everybody has a challenge. This is yours. And it's going to be hard sometimes, but there is nothing that you can't do if you take care of yourself. And like that was reinforced. And you have the opportunity as a parent to be able to do that for your child. And so just remember that they're adopting more of what you're doing and how you're acting versus what you're saying. So even like when they're having a low blood sugar, right? Like not freaking out, because later on in life that can kind of, you know, cause them to be like super, super afraid of having lows and, you know, in a way where they run their blood sugars high, right? So really thinking about how you're responding to the blood sugars, to the fluctuations, to their diagnosis in general. And, you know, it's not that you can't grieve. It's not that you can't, you know, be sad or anything like that, because all emotions definitely are allowed. But overall, throughout that initial diagnosis, it's like, give yourself space to process everything, but also know that like your child is going to be okay and live an incredible life as long as you believe that's possible for them. Okay. Next up, this is the last question, and then we're going to shift into my lessons that I've learned in my 20s. So the question here is, and I debated answering this, but we're going to answer it because I get asked a lot about this every day up until getting married. Everyone was like, when are you getting married? When are you getting married? When are you getting married? And then you get married and everyone's like, when are you having kids? When are you having kids? When are you having kids? So the question I got was, do you have any age, career, or T1D goals before considering parenthood? So I think I've mentioned this, like it depends how long you've been following me or listening to the podcast, but like I cannot wait to be a mother. Like I know in my bones I am meant to be a mother. I've never once doubted that, questioned that. I just cannot wait for that, you know, period to come in whatever way it does. And at the same time, right now, like clearly, yes, I'm like, I'm not pregnant, like not having kids this second. And that does, I think, you know, draw some curiosity from people, you know, clearly when I get asked these questions. But, you know, in terms of age, career, or T1D goals, one thing that I feel very, very content with and happy about is that for me, diabetes is kind of out of the picture, meaning like I did so much work on my diabetes to get to the place where I know that whatever life transition happens, whether it's pregnancy, whether it's, you know, traveling, whether it's, you know, work high periods of stress periods, like I can flow and I can adapt because I know my body's pattern so well. I'm, you know, very educated because we work with so many women at Risley who are prepping for pregnancy, who go through pregnancy and then postpartum, supporting them with their diabetes. You know, I know what to expect. I know what it's going to be like. I feel very prepared in that arena. So what that leaves us with is kind of just like more like regular people life things that, you know, you go through. I could imagine a lot of people, you know, feel the same way that I do, which is the clock is ticking. And, you know, at the same time, how do I get my mind and my heart to move forward to this period of readiness of, and not feeling like, oh, like, you know, have I experienced enough of life yet? Have I hit these career goals that I want to hit? Am I going to be able to balance everything, right? It's all of these just normal things. And I'm grateful for that because I'm like, you know, millions of women have had babies. So many women have had, you know, like high performing careers and also have been mothers and are mothers. And so like, it's possible. I just have to work through some of these things on my own and continue to work through them of my feeling of like readiness. And then the diabetes piece, like that is not in the way currently stopping me. I can get pregnant, you know, tomorrow if I wanted to and feel good about the health of the baby and everything like that. Yeah. I mean, I think the only one thing diabetes related in terms of like prepping for pregnancy that I do want to do is I do want to have more of like an in-depth conversation with my husband just about like what pregnancy is like with diabetes, kind of like communicate what I know are going to be my needs during that time and just like be on the same team around that because obviously he knows generally, but like, I don't know. I just feel like we have to have like a conversation around it specifically. So that's, I'm going to leave it at that. There's like a lot more layers, but that feels good for now for, I don't want to say feeding the bees, but like, you know, feeding the curiosity, hopefully, you know, that you guys have around this topic. And I promise I will take you along the journey when it does happen. Okay. So that concludes the diabetes portion of it. But as you guys know from the podcast and from this space here, we are all about like, diabetes and self-development hand in hand. There's so much of what we go through as type ones that really parallels everyday life and the lessons. And so somebody actually asked, you know, what are 30 things that you've learned by 30? And I'm not going to share three. I'm going to share three specific, you know, lessons that I think also can be applicable to diabetes. But overall, let's just like do a recap of my 20s. So if I'm being honest, I feel like my 20s were an emotional roller coaster, literally, but in a good way, right? Like it felt necessary and foundational for the rest of my life to experience everything I did. In a way, I feel like what I experienced was a preview into, hey, all of these different things are going to happen in your lifetime. So, you know, the universe is like, so I'm going to give this to you and you're going to learn that you can overcome this, or you're going to learn how to handle this, or you're going to learn that this is possible for you, so that as you go into your 30s and then, you know, the decades to come, like you're, yes, you might not know 100% what's coming your way, but you're not going to be so, I don't know, like just emotionally all over the place when it does happen, because you're like, oh, we've been here before. We know how to handle this. So in my 20s, there was a lot of focus. It was very inward. Like it was a very inward decade for me. It was a lot of focus on my personal self-growth. There was a lot of building my career, building Rizely, building impact. And I've experienced, you know, all things like many of you, like on a spectrum, right? And so I've experienced beautiful moments of getting married to the absolute joy of my life, making new friends, buying a home, turning my passions into work, traveling, having amazing experiences. I was on the Today Show, like so many highs. And there was also a lot of downs. There was my early 20s, a lot of relationship to my body and food issues. It was changing the entire trajectory of what I thought my career would look like. I literally thought I was going to be a lawyer in my coming into this decade and was ready to go to law school and leaving it. We are clearly not a practicing attorney. You know, I had a near-death experience in the hospital when I had sepsis. That was very scary. And that was probably the lowest point of my relationship with diabetes, to be example, or my body, because I was like, wait a second. Diabetes is supposed to be my thing and the thing that, you know, is the complication with my health. And now I'm getting this on top of it and I'm going through this, like, this isn't fair. So just like commenting on the question earlier about like resenting your diabetes, I would say like, I was a little, we went dark there for a second. But what other challenges were there? There was, oh, toxic work environments. I've never told that story publicly. Maybe if I write a book one day, I'll share it. But ages 20, was it 22? 20, no, 23. I think it was like ages 22 to 24 or 23 to 20. Yeah, I think it was like 23 to 25 was an extremely toxic, emotionally, mentally draining 2 years. I wasn't an employee of a company, but I was a contractor for a company. And it was, there's a lot of stories there and there's a lot to unpack. And I learned a lot from that. And it took me a long time to heal from everything that happened there. But there was that. There was, you know, watching people close to me. My grandfather was the first person to, you know, close to me to pass away. You know, I just like, you know, watching other people who, like my other grandparents and just other family members as everybody's aging, just realizing, oh, wow, they're not, you know, they're not going to live forever and we're all not going to live forever. And this is life, and just kind of like watching that unfold and really being faced with that. But yeah, I think all of those types of things, the quote unquote good and the bad, that's going to happen. Like that is life. And it's like, how do you, I think I learned emotionally, how do I not get so just all over the place with everything that happens and like shocked by it? And it's like, no, like this is like, treat this as math. Like there's going to be good, there's going to be bad, but like trying to treat everything almost with a little bit neutrality. So we started our 20s with, you know, I was a junior in college. I had started a blog called Let Us Be Healthy and Happy. It was for fun on the side. And now we are here and I couldn't be more happy. But there are three specific lessons that I'll share with you that were absolutely instrumental in getting me to where I am today. And I have so many more lessons to learn and I'm excited to be able to, you know, learn them in the years to come. But here are the ones that really stuck out to me. And I feel like I just kind of like got, like I get it. It's ingrained in me. So the first one is don't outsource your authority or your intuition. So when I came into this decade, this past decade, I did not feel confident in who I was. I felt lost. I felt like I didn't fit in. I had a lot of like inner thoughts and like kind of like demons, right? That would like run rampant in my head and were never like, you know, positive. They were always kind of just like, you're not good enough and you're not smart enough and you're not this, you're not that. And like, that was my like autopilot. And I spent a lot of my 20s trying to like figure out, I would say, like who I was, right? It's like, who am I? And I would try on these different hats and I would be like, even like with down to like my wardrobe, like, am I this person's style? Am I this person's style? Or, you know, is this my voice, right? It was a lot of trying to find my voice and my space, especially on the internet. I would say going through all of your 20s and then doing it in a way publicly where you're going through all these ups and downs was definitely a challenge because you're kind of like, you know, you're basing your confidence sometimes or like, I guess like, yeah, like on the opinions of others, right? Like the opinions of others and like, oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it? Right. Or, oh my gosh, I love, you know, what you just said. And instead, like I was looking towards outer validation in a way, I think is what I'm trying to say to answer the question of like, am I enough? And throughout the journey, I think what I found is that it's not so much about figuring out who you are. It's more peeling back the layers of who you are not and who people maybe who have said that you had to be or who you thought you needed to be to get to the core of who you are and who you always have been. And at that center and at that core, that like, you know, deep part inside of your chest of like true inner knowing, like lies the truth, which is that like, I've always been enough. Without the validation of others, and I don't need, you know, outside authority to validate that for me. I also think this whole journey and this lesson and why it was so important of not outsourcing your authority or your intuition to others is like, it can get really easy to think all the time that like other people know better than you and that you couldn't possibly know as much as this person. And it is important to like learn and listen from others. But at the end of the day, coming back to like the knowing that like you are responsible for your outcomes. This was a big thing, right? For my diabetes journey. I also came into my 20s like, okay, I'm going to go to my endo every, you know, 6 months and just let her change things. And like, that's going to be it. And like, that was not working. And I learned like when you outsource your health, when you outsource your confidence, when you outsource your future, when you outsource your decisions to other people, you end up at a place lacking confidence and lacking the ability to steer the direction of where your life is going. So don't outsource your authority. Don't outsource your intuition. Focus on how you can strengthen those things so you have all the tools and resources within yourself to be able to stand on. Okay, that was my first one. Now the second one. Okay, this is a big one. This second one is, your personality is your personal reality. Your personality is your personal reality. So I talked about how the past decade a lot for me had a lot to do with like inner work. And man, like this, I can't even imagine who I would be today if I didn't recognize the power that our personalities and that our mindsets and that our beliefs, you know, had in shaping our lives. I can think of anything, right? Like wanting to be happier, wanting to attract in your life partner, wanting to buy a piece of property, wanting to be more confident, wanting to, you know, whatever it is, get that dream job. Everything comes back to you and your energy, and your energy stems from your mindset and your thoughts, like at the base. And what I realize the most is that everybody has a blueprint of how they operate from childhood, right? So you go through childhood and you grow up, and now as an adult, you have all these triggers, you have habits, you have tendencies, you have limiting beliefs that are not serving you. And what I realize is like, if you do not like, first off, become aware of these. And then second off, you know, ask yourself, are they serving you? And then lastly, change them if they're not serving you. You just are going through life kind of living in the past, right? Your outlook on life and what you're calling in and what you're attracting in and all that's what's possible for you, right? Those opportunities that are out there, they're just based on these programs in your brain that it's like a computer storage system, right? It's actually called the, how do you say it? It's parietal lobe. Shoot, now I can't even say it. Okay. Perfectionist in me is like, okay, stop this recording, start this all over, but I'm not going to do it. So it's called something. It's a part of your brain that is like all the storage system from just like, you know, years and years and years of how you should act and what you should do. And all of that is 100 times faster than your prefrontal cortex and your prefrontal lobe that is like your decision-making part of your brain. And so all to say, if you are not going deep into this mindset work, you're just like on auto mode all the time. And it's hard for you to like call in what you want for your life. And it's hard for you to create your personal reality if you do not have the mechanisms or the deep-rooted like subconscious work in order to allow you to unlock all the things that are possible for you. So yeah, I think I understand myself. Like I have spent so much time with myself alone that I know these triggers and habits and tendencies that don't serve me. I've worked through so many of them to the point that they don't even like sound familiar anymore. I'm like, oh, the things and the limiting beliefs I was working through my early 20s. I'm like, I can't even relate to them. Like, I can't even believe that was me. And now I know that I have a whole new set of ones that exist today, but that they can be changed and that it's just about being aware of these things. And so that brings us to the third lesson, which is the answer can be yes. Possibilities over limitations. Whatever you want in your life is possible for you if you are willing to do the work. I am a big proponent of language. I'm super, super cognizant and particular in how I speak, whether it's over text message, whether it's if it's over email, whether it's in meetings, whether it's talking to friends. I will never say things like XYZ, you know, but this can't happen because of that reason, right? It's always and. It's like, this is the situation and there's something we can do about it, right? Or it's like, you know, a lot of people will say like, because I don't have enough time or because I don't have enough energy or because I haven't been sleeping well or because XYZ, I can't XYZ. And I switch that to like, hey, even though I don't have enough time, I can still, you know, get the workout in. Or even though I don't have, you know, this degree or that degree, I can still make an impact in this way, right? It's like this belief of like how we speak to ourselves really shapes what's possible for us. So that goes clearly off of the second lesson that I just shared earlier. But a big part of this for me has been like surrounding myself with expanders. So I think of expanders of people who are living lives that maybe I once thought was like impossible, but then spending time with them, talking to them, I realized like, oh, well, they've created that for themselves. Like, why can't I create that for myself? If you think about like what in a way that I've, you know, we've as a community and also the team, but like have done with Risley, like there were so many people who told me that's not going to work. You know, you're not going to be able to make a big enough impact, or you're not going to, you know, you're just going to be working for yourself. There's so many struggles. You didn't go to like business school. You didn't, you know, you don't even have like a medical degree, all these things of like people telling you, you can't. And my whole, you know, past 10 years has been about like, no, actually I can. And I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to color outside the lines, but I'm not going to cross the line and I'm going to make it work. And that doesn't always mean we're going to get everything that we want. There's been so many things in my, you know, the last couple of years that I've been like, oh, I want this to happen so bad. Like, you know, I really would love this. I would love that. But if you anchor down into like, you know, this, I want this or something better, you kind of can put the trust into the universe or God or whoever, or whatever, that like you're always guided on the right path. But if you have that tenacity, if you have the belief that like you deserve and can have an incredible, incredible life, like somewhere along the way, right? Like you're putting out this energy, it's going to come back and you are going to be able to create that for yourself in either the way that you want and planned or in an even better way that you didn't even really know that you needed or whatnot. So, deep breath. Okay. Three lesson recap. Number one, don't outsource your authority or intuition. Number two, your personality is your personal reality. Also on that note, personality is something that like most people attribute to being fixed, like a fixed personality, like, oh, you're born with it. You can't change it. You absolutely can. So just keep that in mind as well. And then number three, the answer can be yes. Whatever you want for yourself, whatever you want for your future, you can have it or something better. And that is a wrap on those lessons. So, all right, let's close this episode out, you guys. I feel like I started my 20s lacking confidence. There was like a lot of uncertainty. I was also feeling like I had to figure it out. And I was in this rush to get to 30. And I was like, oh, I want to be here, 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 and here. And now I'm at this point where like, I can just simply enjoy where I'm at. I'm not rushing to get anywhere. I'm enjoying the twists and turns of the unknowing with certainty that I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but certainty that whatever comes is a part of my journey and is a part of life. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to, you know, have joy and play and balance and health and, you know, a future family and, you know, all of it. And I'm just happy. I'm just really, really, really happy. And this doesn't mean that I don't have bad days. If you're having a bad day right now, I know that can be annoying to hear, but it's not a bad life. So thank you all so much for being part of this journey. I hope you have some takeaways from this episode. If you do, please share them with me on Instagram. The only thing I don't love about podcasting is that I can't see you. I can't, you know, hear your immediate reactions to some of these things, and we can't converse, but we can converse if you do message me. So I will see you over there. And I just want to, yeah, just send you lots of love, lots of light. And that's all. That's all for now, you guys. I'll see you next week. Take care. Bye. Thank you so much for being here with me today and listening to this episode of Reclaim Your Rise. To let us know that the episodes we're putting out are impactful and to help us get our street cred up and let everyone else know that this is something worthy of their time to listen to, please leave a rating and review on our Apple Podcasts, send the show to other people impacted by T1D or maybe even your doctor, and share it on social media tagging @RiseLeeHealth and @Lauren_Bongiorno. New episodes of Reclaim Your Rise come out every single Tuesday, so make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so that you never miss a beat. Thanks again for listening, and as always, remember, diabetes is a challenge that we did not choose, but one that we can rise above.